feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is the Rita Cosby Show.
I know your name is Rita, because your perfume is smelling sweet. Since when I saw you down on the floor.
Tonight on The Rita Cosby Show, we will continue to talk about this terrible murder of an NYPD officer, Jonathan Diller. Taking your calls on that, a 31-year-old who had been on the force for 3 years, finding out he was married, also had a 1-year-old son. This is such a heartbreaking story, and it was just a routine traffic stop. He was getting the guy in the passenger side of the car out, and that is when the guy opened fire on the officer, shooting him under his vest, and he died soon afterwards at the hospital. A guy with 21 prior arrests. How many more do you need? Boy, do we have to fix things in our law and order and our law and justice system tonight. Also, our wide open southern border. In February, they had a historic high number of crossings. And over the weekend, you know it's bad when the border chief, this is Jason Owens, he's the new guy who's been there because the old guy complained about Joe Biden, even though he was brought in by Joe Biden. And then he kind of resigned, saying that he never even spoke to him or the vice president. Well, the new one came in, and he sounds just as troubled as the old one because the facts are the facts. Remember those images that we saw not that long ago of people storming our southern border in El Paso? Hundreds of illegal Venezuelan migrants, single adult men, storming the fence line of razor wire, toppling it over, and then toppling the officers as well and getting into the country. As far as we know, none of them have been deported. This is typical and par for the course. And now the U.S. Border Patrol chief did the rounds over the weekend, and I'm sure he didn't say what the Biden administration wanted him to say. They probably wanted him to say, oh, everything's okay. There's a few problems on the border, and if there are anybody's problems, it's Trump and the Republicans. That seems to be the message that the Biden administration is trying to spin. The reality is they are the ones who opened the border. They are the ones who are fighting Texas tooth and nail. And even Biden's own Border Patrol chief says the numbers are so obvious, so dangerous that he can't hide it anymore. And he said what bothers him are the 140,000 in just the last fiscal year, by the way, because that's only about 6 months. That have crossed the border and we have zero idea. That's not even the ones that they have a record of where they say, hey, come back into court in like 7-8 years. He calls them the gotaways. These are the ones that they just see like a dot and say, okay, well, there's a person who went there. There's a person who went there. Guess how many? 140,000 just in the last fiscal year or so. That's all that we have zero clue about. And that's what he says is downright dangerous. Listen to what Biden's own Border Patrol chief had to say over the weekend.
Are you concerned about that, about the potential dangerous people or potential terrorists who may be infiltrating the country because you are so focused on processing asylum seekers, families, and others who are in distress?
Absolutely. You ask any law enforcement officer, especially somebody that works in border security, that is what keeps us up at night. We're closing in on 1 million entries this fiscal year alone. That number is a large number, but what's keeping me up at night is the 140,000 known gotaways.
That is not part of that tally.
That is not part of that tally, and that's just what we know.
Is that a national security risk?
That is a national security threat. Border security is a big piece of national security, and if we don't know who is coming into our country and we don't know what their intent is, that is a threat, and they're exploiting a vulnerability that's on our border right now.
And Kamala Harris, who is our so-called border czar, well, she did the rounds this weekend. And of course, she blamed it all on the GOP, which is such a bunch of hogwash. Listen to this.
I want to ask you about the border. Did you watch that border video down in El Paso? And does that send a message to Americans that the border is secure?
We are very clear, and I think most Americans are clear, that we have a broken immigration system and we need to fix it. Members of the United States Senate, those considered to be very conservative with others, came to a bipartisan resolution, but they're refusing to put it up for a vote. And in large part because we know the former president would prefer to run on a problem instead of fix a problem.
It is all blaming Trump. So if it rained this weekend, it's Trump's fault. I mean, is there anybody out there, I hope nobody does, actually believe that it's Trump's fault for the situation at the border? Well, here is Tom Cotton, Senator Tom Cotton, who spoke out and said, I call it as I see it. Listen.
The only person responsible for the chaos at our border is Joe Biden. In 2020, he said that he would reverse all of President Trump's highly effective policies. That sent a signal to everyone around the world that if you got to our border, you could get in. That's exactly what he did on day one. And we had more illegal crossings in 2021 than we had had in any previous year, and again in 22, and again in 23. That has nothing to do with a bill that Congress may or may not pass in the spring of 2024. This chaos at our border, 10 million illegal migrants crossing into our country's border over the last 3+ years, is solely the responsibility of Joe Biden.
And he could change it in a moment with an executive order that he is not doing. It is so dangerous on our border. It is so dangerous in our streets, as we're also talking about this terrible murder tonight of one of the NYPD's great heroic officers, Jonathan Diller, 31 years old. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Sandra in New Jersey, line 4. Sandra.
Oh, good evening, reader. I wasn't feeling well, so I, you know, was resting, and I set my alarm to listen to you. And when I heard what you had to say, this is my reaction. Do you remember that Netflix movie, I'm Mad as Hell and I Can't Take It Anymore? That's how I think we all feel about everything. And that poor police officer. When I was little, I remember I loved the police, and I did ever since I'm little. When I was young, I was riding my bike on the Verrazano Bridge, and I got a flat tire. And two policemen came over to me. One took the tire to the gas station to have it fixed. The other one stayed with me until he came back. And I just have a fond memory of police. And I'm just, like I say, I'm mad as hell and I can't take it anymore, Rita.
Yeah, I can't either. I am so fit to be tied, Sandra, and so angry. And I don't understand these people who think that, oh, it's not nice to lock up somebody who's a violent, horrible, you know, brutal, monster, repeat offender. That's the nicest thing I can say about them. And now that individual's a murderer. But if you look at the tea leaves, it is clear where this path is headed. And if you don't stop that path, they're going to keep going. And that's what happens time and time again. I'm so sick of hearing these stories and hearing the background. And as soon as I heard, oh, it's a repeat offender, and then I see 21 prior arrests. Are you kidding me? I mean, what? How many more priors do you need, these soft-on-crime politicians? How many more priors do you need? Let's go to Robert in Philly. Robert, your thoughts. This is just, it's outrageous.
Well, it's another day of outrage, Rita, and it's always good to talk to you. Real quick, the prior caller who talked about a federal crime against hurting police officers.
Yep.
Sounds like a great guy. Sounds like a dude I would love to hang out with, and I feel what he's feeling, but you do not want the feds involved with local police. Trust me on this. They ruin everything they touch.
Well, and by the way, you have to wonder who's overseeing it, because you want Biden's DOJ to be involved in that? I don't think
exactly.
So, Robert.
Exactly. But I'm looking at all the things that we talk about day in and day out, Rita, and it seems like every problem that we have and that we talk about are a direct result of this current administration's policies. You know, and I've never seen that my entire life. I've never seen everything go wrong all at once because of one knucklehead and his crew of socialists. And I'm wondering, How far does it have to take? Why isn't there a commercial putting up the blue cities, which are monuments to the failures of the Democratic Party, and asking America, is this what you want? I can't believe people are still voting for this party after all the destruction they have caused across all spheres, across all. And that's another reason. I just don't want the feds involved in anything else right now. You know what I mean?
That's a great point, by the way, Robert. In theory, you're right, especially when it is, again, as I bring up, Biden's DOJ. I think that's the last place you want it. I appreciate the thought of like having enhancements so the penalty is much more severe so they don't get out in a few years, you know, under a state system, or if a state has, you know, doesn't have death penalty or has, you know, shortened sentences, you know, easier parole. Who's on the parole board? There's a story, I think, it was in Washington, D.C., guys, where one of the people on the parole board was an ex-con. I mean, that's the last person I'm sorry I put on there. I guess they think takes one to know one. But apparently he was a soft on crime ex-con, not a tough on crime ex-con. So that's like, I mean, you can't make it up. It's like you're in like alternate universe. Let's go to Norm. Line two. Norm, your thoughts tonight.
Yeah, hi, Rita. Yeah, first of all.
Norm, you got to get off. You sound terrible. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
No, you still sound. Call us back, Norm. We'll take you when you call back. Let's go to Artie in the meantime. Line one. Artie, your thoughts.
Hi, Rita. How you doing?
Good. How you doing? I'm angry tonight.
Rita, I just want to say, you know, my prayers go out to this officer's family and the officers in the 101 precinct. But Rita, this has been building up for years. I mean, this started in the de Blasio administration. Last year alone, you had over 3,100 incidents where New York City police officers were assaulted. And what happens? These people keep getting let out. And, you know, they've taken away safeties away from the police officers, too. No longer are they indemnified. You know, so now you have cops second-guessing themselves, also saying, should I defend myself in a situation, or am I going to be arrested? Or, you know, what's going to happen to me? Or am I going to be sued civilly? You know, and then, you know, these are the things that they put on these cops, you know, and you know, it makes them think twice about when they have to do something. And
those are great points.
And because of things like that, you're not getting people. There's a big recruiting problem. Nobody wants to be a cop, and you're pushing these guys. You're pushing these NYPD guys to the limit that you're having thousands and thousands of them retiring, you know?
Yeah, at record pace. And that's why we have to appreciate the ones that are there, the men and women. You're right, because there are so many reasons that are dissuading them from doing it. A lot of it, just as you brought up, within the system, too. They're afraid about being, saying that they're racially stereotyping, that they're doing certain things. They're afraid they're going to get called into an internal affairs. They're afraid now they have to do the paperwork. Remember, for every stop, I mean, could they make it more difficult to be a cop these days? How sad is that? 1-800-848-9222. And we'll continue, everybody, after the break. You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen New Bridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen New Bridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the Rita Cosby Show.
What is the matter with our politicians that are giving these repeat offenders breaks after breaks after breaks? By the way, I was trying to find out the latest of the man who killed my two friends, John Burnett and Andy Nobles. It happened on October 5th, 1993. They were two young cops who were doing patrol in the Boulevard Homes area of West Boulevard and West Charlotte. And then they were doing a stop. It turned out the guy ran off into the woods. He took one of their guns and he executed both of them. I will never forget that day, October 5th, 1993. And here it is, guys, more than 30 years later. And their executioner, a career criminal by the name of Alden Hardin, was arrested later that day. He was convicted, and he has spent the last 30 years on death row. He was sentenced to death, and he is still awaiting ultimate punishment, but has yet to be punished for that crime. It is shocking to me that I remember he got the death penalty, and he is still fighting it. There is no gray as to who did it, as to what happened. And it is 30 years later, and he is still sitting on death row. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Norm. Norm, your thoughts about what just happened tonight and the way the system is. I can't believe this guy is still sitting on death row 30 years later.
Yeah, it's a horrible thing. And I know some of the people who killed the people who I was friends with a cop. His name was Jeffrey Herman. He was executed in 1989. He was the same age as me. So if he'd be alive today, he'd be about 60 years old. He was a young man with a wife and a kid. And you know, it's crazy that these things are still going on. I also remember a cop when I was in high school named Cecil Sledge. And he was kind of like a legend here. I mean, he really was like a serious alpha cop in the neighborhood in Canarsie in Flatlands. And he was dragged to death. Somehow he tried to make an arrest and he got hooked onto a car and the criminal literally dragged him to death. And, it's just crazy that, you know, like, so many years pass and these things are still going on. And
how do we fix this, Norm? How do we change this around where they don't feel so emboldened?
How do you change it around? I think ultimately, you know, there has to be respect for law and order. I think you have to deal with criminals very, very harshly. Unfortunately, I think, you know, the types of jobs that these people do, these things will always happen.
Yeah, no, and I think you're sadly right. I think, but I also think we need to put the fear of God that people think absolutely twice before committing a crime, let alone a crime against someone in uniform, like one of our brave men and women. We're going to continue your calls, everybody, after the break, and also talk about Trump today in court.
Rita Cosby is on.
Is definitely stepping out because he got some great news today.
certainly a law and order president. And he came forward and said, you know what? This is great news, what happened when they reduced the bond amount. Remember, he was supposed to pay $454 million. I mean, that is so crazy. $500 million. This was in the civil fraud case that was brought on by New York Attorney General Letitia James, who campaigned on getting Trump. And finally today, an appeals court stepped in and reduced his bond from the whopping $454 million to $175 million. And it's still a heck of a lot of money, but it is much more doable than if Letitia James had started seizing his assets. Because remember, over the weekend, she was like, oh, I'm kind of looking at Westchester. I'm looking at 40 Wall Street. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at that. Trump said today that he has enough money in cash that he can pay it. He said he didn't want to pay it, but he was also happy that at least the Court of Appeals stepped in and tried to at least do some help on this extremely excessive, excessive charge. And then he also took a swipe at the judge in the case, Judge Engoron. Take a listen to what he said.
And he stays with it. So he's either whacked out or dishonest, one or the other. Or both, probably both. But he's a disgrace to the system.
And he also said that this case is just incredible. This and also the other case that's happening with the New York DA, Alvin Bragg. That's the so-called hush money case, because even though they didn't hand over $30,000 worth of 30,000 documents to Trump and also to Alvin Bragg, they were in the Fed's hands. They didn't hand them over. There's probably information in there that most likely exonerates or helps Trump. Maybe that goes after Michael Cohen, because the feds decided not to go after charges for Trump. But then the DA, Alvin Bragg, decided he would take it upon himself to do the charges against Trump. And so it's interesting because he had all this time to do it. He didn't do it. And then now suddenly, the first time there will ever be a criminal trial against a former president of the United States, first time ever in history, guys, it's going to be over not marking something appropriately in terms of whether it was a business expense or not. This seems preposterous. And that's what Trump was hitting on today. Take a listen.
This is all about election interference. This is all Biden-run things, meaning Biden and his thugs, because I don't know if he knows he's alive. And it's a shame. It's a shame what's happening to our country. This is election interference. They are things that have never been done in this country before. We've never had anything like it, certainly not at this level, but we've really had nothing like it that I've been able to find. It does happen a lot in third world countries, banana republics.
Banana republics. And the fact that the amount was lowered to about a third, which is pretty incredible, that's a big change, just shows how preposterous the original bond was. And the fact that this court stepped in with hours to spare, because the deadline wasn't about a half an hour or so from now, then Letitia James was going to start seizing assets. And Leo Terrell says in that case, the beginning of the end is now.
It's a message to Letitia James that she's overreaching, and to the judge. You're not going to take his property. We're going to let the process work its way out. She's talking about seizing property, and this matter hadn't been decided yet. So I look at this decision today to reduce the amount as the beginning of the end of this case. Because, again, I will tell you this very clearly. There's no harm. There's no victim. There's no damage. Where are the victims? There are no victims. And I submit to you that this case will be basically reversed and there'll be no fine imposed against President Trump.
Yeah, likely no fine, probably at the end of the day. Who knows? I mean, at least I'm happy. It gives me a little sense in the justice system, because justice is supposed to be blind. I mean, I agree with Trump. It feels like a banana republic. And this was a big victory for President Trump today. The fact that that he doesn't suddenly have to start liquidating assets and selling off assets and doing things like that. It is a big, big blow that it was cut to a third. I still think it's obviously over the top and preposterous, but at least it has been greatly, greatly reduced. And it certainly says something about the arbitrary, incredible high number that they came up with to begin with. So this is a big, big day for Trump. There is no doubt about it. But he still, at this point, has to appear in court on the other New York case starting April 15th. That a hush money case that they're saying the money should have gone in, that it was sort of a campaign deal. He was doing it to cover. It was mislisted. That kind of a thing. You never go to trial on something like this. But again, it's Trump and it's an election year. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Phil, line 3 in the Bronx. Phil, your thoughts about all this.
Good evening, Rita. Good to hear your voice.
You too.
Thank you. I don't know if you recall, about two or three weeks ago, I mentioned to you that the appellate court will kick butt on this issue in favor of Trump. And you were kind of, well, I don't know. The state is the state, as, you know, Democrats and so on.
By the way, you are correct. You are correct, Phil. You're right. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. The point is that if you read the pro tem decision, the brief, it's incredible. It's this guy, this judge who's involved in this whole matter with Trump. He's out on about 4 formal counts. It's easily reversible. The thing is, they need time. And the reduction, I believe the reduction is substantial enough so that he can afford it. The interesting thing, though, is I don't doubt it. Knowing the appellate court, I've had experience with the appellate court on several occasions. I'm a pretty fierce litigator on my own. I don't need lawyers. What I understand is that a couple of some of the top 10 real estate people in the city had a few words in favor of Trump and in favor of this particular verdict that came out. I think that they phone calls were made, if you get my meaning.
Yeah, because you know what? They were saying it's preposterous. They know how the system works. And you know, they know that a lot of stuff with real estate especially is subjective. And you brought up the fact also there were, the banks were fine. They did their own due diligence. They seemed okay with it. They wanted to do business with him again. But somehow Letitia James took it upon herself. But I am glad that you felt that they would do it. And you know why? It seems like it is full steam ahead against Trump. So on every level, and even though, it is an appeals court, I still actually, because it's still part of the New York system, I sadly lacked a lot of faith in it. And you had more faith than I did. And you're correct. You are absolutely correct, Phil. Now, where do you think it goes from here? Let's hear, what's your prognostication of where it goes from here?
Typical time in the appellate term. The appellate court itself. I would say that probably within the next 60 to 90 days, a very well-written decision will come down. And it's a slam dunk for Trump. There's almost nothing, but I feel very sorry for that judge, because when a judge in state court gets a lot of reversals as a result of an appeal, it doesn't look good on their record, and they're not looked well by the administrative court unit.
I don't feel sorry for him. I think he was over the top, and he was preposterous.
Well, he was more than preposterous. He violated one or two of the key tenets of formal proceedings. And remember one thing.
I don't feel sorry for him. Do you? I'm sorry. I think he's shameful. I really do. I think he made a decision on Trump before he even heard the case. It was just a question of how much. Come on.
That's the big mistake. That is the biggest mistake he could have ever done, where he said, you know, it's summary judgment and all that. And I got news for you. I could only imagine the ire of the top 10 real estate people in the city. They could do this to any one of them if they don't like them for whatever reason. They could do a Trump on them. And they're not going to stand for this, because if they pull out of the real estate market in New York, You're talking billions, billions and billions of dollars.
Well, and you hit it on the head because a lot of them, yeah, we're worried about the impact that, you know, what if suddenly they get in the crosshairs of whoever is in power? Are they vulnerable just like Trump? A lot of business people, not just even real estate, but a lot of business people thought, uh-oh, this is not a good sign. This is going to drive people further away from New York at a time where when you hear the headlines about crime and taxes and congestion pricing, all of that stuff, there's enough reasons to get driven away. They didn't want more. And I do think, yeah, that probably played a role in it. But it's also just so preposterous on its face. And I'm glad that this judge got slapped down. And this, I think, is what? I think it's his sixth loss in this case. So he's got a great track record. I'm being facetious, Phil, because, boy, what a mess. Well, you hit it on the head, Phil. So you were right. And I'm glad you were right because it's the right thing for justice. Thank you very much, Phil. I'm glad you called. Let's go to Tony, line two. Tony, your thoughts.
Rita, I was very encouraged because to me, there was a very simple message to the American people. And they saw that, how can something, because Americans, there was a recent survey that went out on what people thought about President Trump's, you know, indictments and how he's being treated and do they think it's fair or not. And people were really not comfortable with what was going on with him. And this clearly is showing our voters, our fellow Americans, that this is a system of government who's playing with the system, who is not really honoring each person's, you know, rights under the Constitution, but they're playing a political game, and Americans are getting it. President Trump is going through the hoops, and as he's doing it, what really is stunning to me is that he has taught us so much about how this system is working, and he's being so transparent about his own experience, he's just drawing so many Americans in. On the other hand, the flip side is that Americans, to me, Rita, from the polls also are saying we don't really understand the Biden administration. They're not really for us. Number one, they're for illegals. Number two, they're not protecting us just, you know, in terms of crime and in terms of our economy. So America is having a problem trusting Joe Biden. And what happened today is showing them that the court system is not working fairly. When you could cut somebody's bond in more than half, that shows that you were playing a game from the start.
Yeah, and I think we all knew it, but I'm glad that the appeals court also saw that too as well, Tony. Thank you very much. And everybody, now our Support Our Hero segment.
The Rita Cosby Show presents Support Our Heroes.
And this is the Tunnel to Towers Foundation Support Our Heroes segment with a powerful story coming from Richmond, Virginia, where a special dog walk was held recently at the Virginia War Memorial in Richmond to honor military dogs and dogs who have spent their lives in service. These dogs are our nation's canine heroes. And the use of dogs in military operations, by the way, goes back to ancient times. But the U.S. didn't start using military dogs until World War II. In fact, following the attack on Pearl Harbor, dogs were then trained to serve in the Army, Navy, and Coast Guard. These dogs were largely donated by owners for military service. More than 10,000 dogs were trained, and most returned to their families after undergoing a training period to help them adjust to civilian life again. Today, canines have become an integral part of our armed forces, from sniffing out bombs to guarding our military bases and checkpoints to patrolling for sabotages. And it's these exceptional dogs that do whatever is necessary to protect their handlers and their units all over the globe. By the way, there are currently about 1,600 military dogs in active service for our troops. And at this event that was held recently in Richmond, they had a walk. They also gave awards, hopefully doggy treats, I hope. And the walk is to honor all military, law enforcement, search and rescue, and other service dogs on the battlefields of war, and also our local communities. How beautiful to see our furry friends who are right there on the front lines also do so much. And everybody, help America to never, ever forget. All you have to do is donate just $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. They do so much to help our great warriors and also their families and those who are in dire, dire need, and some who have given all, and their families and young kids left behind. So please remember the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Simply go to t2t.org, t2t.org.
You're listening to The Rita Cosby Show. It's The Rita Cosby Show.
And President Trump came out swinging today after his bond was reduced by a lot, by about two-thirds. It's about a third the amount. But then he also got news that trial with Alvin Bragg, the hush money case, is going to start in about 3 weeks. And here's his reaction. He says it's all driven by the current president in the Oval Office.
And would you be concerned that a conviction, if you are convicted in that trial, could cost you the election, given what Todd said voters are?
Well, it could also make me more popular because the people know it's a scam. It's a Biden trial. This is a Biden. There is no trial. There's a Biden trial.
And if you look at some of the new polls, many people do believe Biden is behind it. There is no way. Look, over the weekend, he was calling him Broke Don. That doesn't sound like somebody who's above the fray. And he's also the one who allowed the National Archives to go look into the search that precipitated all that stuff that happened at Mar-a-Lago and the classified documents. I have a hard time believing, my opinion, that Biden has clean hands here. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Pete. Line 2, Pete, your thoughts. Hey, Pete.
Hey, Rita, how are you?
I'm great. Donald, you sound Trump. Great. You sound great.
Oh, I feel great. Another week, I'll be having my foot not dressed anymore. I'll be wearing a prosthesis toe with a shoe, and I'll be able to drive my car. So I'll be happy as that.
You're going to be tap dancing. That's what I think, Pete.
Oh, I will. I'm going to be at Roseland. doing the dance.
You sound great.
With Donald Trump today, I think this was the greatest day for him, because that bail will be reduced to $175 million, and he could take care of and still have his money for his campaign, which I don't think he has to put a dollar in, because I think he's so far ahead that it ain't funny. But the people have to get out and vote, and don't let your guard down and think, oh, well, it's an easy shoo-in, because with an election, as we found out before, there's no such thing as a simple election.
And Pete, get out early too. That's the other thing.
Oh, yeah,
like all these people who say wait till election day. You can't wait till election day. I mean, I think about I say one word when I hear people say, "Oh, I'm going to wait till election day." I say Fetterman, because remember John Fetterman, that whole race against that took place with Oz. And remember, he got out in the debate and it was like, hello, good night. He couldn't even speak. It was such a mess. But they were hundreds of thousands of votes ahead because the Democrats did all the early voting and all the other, like, get out the vote stuff. And, you know, you want to have an equal footing when you go into election day, because typically Republicans come out more on election day. So can you imagine if you have as many early votes as the other side, and then suddenly on election day, many more Republicans come out? That's a slam dunk. That's what you call a slam dunk, and you can't take anything for granted. Pete, thank you very much. I love you, and you sound great. I'm so happy to hear you. Let's go to Jerry real quick, line 3. Jerry, your thoughts?
Yeah, I read it. The Alvin Bragg case is very dangerous because Judge Merchan, he's following Judge Aragon, and he's following the other judge. And he's basically not allowing Trump to put up an affirmative defense saying that it's election interference. Trump can't introduce any evidence showing timing of it, showing how they stretch this law, how they never use this law, how an NDA is often something that is allowed. So it's just a total sham.
Yeah, I hear you, because I think you're right. It's going to be tough. But he's got to fight it. And listen, election day's coming up soon.